If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Garding, who wears the infidel tag proudly and is a proud traditional American. You know, one of those considered a traitor by the Obama nation. I am your host, Robert Garding, and you are listening to Hour 1 of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this nation with Obama and his minions and how to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. We also put in good information of our enemies, like the Muslim Brotherhood and others. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. And now, on with the show.
You know, sometimes the best stories I find happen right after the show. Like last week, as in the case with this one, you have all heard about how Colorado has been hit with the liberal sickness and has been doing all kinds of things to make even Harry Reid proud. Well, on Saturday, after my show finished, I went to my email and found this one. Colorado has surprised many with this move, in a move that has stunned abortion rights advocates who pushed through a repeal of state criminal penalties last year. Colorado lawmakers proposed a bill that prohibits abortion and makes a violation of it a Class 3 felony. HB 133, sponsored by Republican Steve Humphrey of Severance, Colorado, is a response to a move last year that critics said would make the state friendly to abortionists like Kermit Gosnell. The Philadelphia abortionist was convicted of killing infants after they had been born, mostly by using its scissors to snip their spinal cords. Led by Democrat majority legislator, Democrat governor, and Barack Obama's agenda, the state surged left on several issues, including abortion. Last year, Democrats passed a bill supported by Planned Parenthood and the nation's largest abortion provider, repeal criminal abortion statutes. Humphrey explained, he says, "I ran as a pro-life candidate, and this is an issue that is important to my constituents," he said as he introduced the abortion ban bill on Thursday. "I realize that this is an emotional issue, and my intent is not to rub someone's nose in the issue, but when we're talking about protecting human life, this is a discussion we need to have," he said. Christy Rodriguez, executive director of Colorado Campaign for Life, said the left has made Colorado a Kermit Gosnell-friendly state, and we have to do something about it. Humphrey's bill includes an exception for a doctor who accidentally causes the death of an unborn child while treating the mother. It also specifies that contraception is not illegal and states a pregnant mother is not subject to a criminal penalty. Well, isn't that great? Liberalism can be a loser in a liberal state. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism radio show this January the 25th of 2014. As we head into show of January 2014. No matter how much we go after the ones that go after our guns, the discrimination against us continues. Get a load of this one from another site I quote often, BizPack Review. those who support the Second Amendment rights often get harassed, even when they're not exercising those rights. It happened to a Tampa area businessman recently, and it wasn't pretty. John Philippidis lives the American dream on the Florida Gulf Coast. He built a business, raised a family, and plays by the rules. He also has a concealed weapon license and often uses it, according to the Tampa Bay Tribune. "I wanted to be able to defend my family, my household, and the ground I'm standing on," he told the Tribune, "but I'm not looking for any trouble." Philippidis decided to keep the gun home on the day that this happened, locked in a safe, when the family took a road trip to New Jersey to celebrate Christmas and attend a wedding. Shortly after entering Maryland with his wife, Kelly, and three teenage girls, Philippidis noticed he was being checked out by an unmarked police car. The car would follow for a bit, then pull slowly ahead, and then fall back and behind the family's 2012 Ford Explorer. 10 minutes he's behind us," Philippidis said. "We weren't speeding. In fact, lots of other cars were whizzing past. We kept wondering, is he going to do something?" When the family was pulled over, they discovered they'd been bird-dogged by the Maryland Transportation Authority police. 10 minutes after the officer took Philippidis' license, registration, and proof of insurance to his patrol car, he returned the documents, ordered him out of the vehicle, and told him to hook his thumbs behind his back and spread his leg. "You own a gun," the officer said. "Where is it?" "At my home in my safe," Philippidis replied. The officer told him to stay put and then return to the Explorer to check with Kelly Philippidis. "Your husband owns a gun," he told her. "Where is it?" She wasn't aware that he'd left it at home and told the officer it could be anywhere, in the glove box, in the console. She just didn't know. The officer walked back to Philippidis, who was still standing spread-legged between the SUV and the cop car. "You're a liar," the police officer said. "You're lying to me. Your family says you have it. Where is the gun? Tell me where it is and we can resolve this right now." Right about this time, one has to ask, how did they know he was a gun owner? And why was he stopped in the first place? The officer called in backup and spent the next 2 hours searching the Explorer and its contents. Probable cause of what? Legally possessing a firearm? "All that time, he is humiliating me in front of my family, making me feel like a criminal," John Philippidis said. "I've never been to prison, never declared bankruptcy. I pay my taxes, support my 20 employees' families. I've never been in any kind of trouble." With a sense of frustration, he told the Tribune, "And he wants to put me in jail. He wants to put me in jail for no reason. He wants to take my wife and children away and put me in jail. In America, how does such a thing happen? And after all, he didn't even write me a ticket." According to the Tribune, now despite having fielded apologies from officers captain as well as from Maryland Transportation Authority Police Internal Affairs captain, John is wondering if he shouldn't just cancel his CCW license. For a guy who's not looking for trouble, that's not an unreasonable conclusion. And it would please fans of gun control by any means, but let's hope John Philippidis, American family guy, taxpayer, and good guy, doesn't cave, because it would be a sad statement about the bitterness, about the brittleness of our guarantees, some would call them sacred, under the Constitution. And that was from the Tribune in Maryland, I think it is. And we have to remember, this is from a newspaper. They seem to be on John's side here, amazingly. After searching the vehicle, the officer let Philippidis leave with a warning. A warning for what? For not exercising the Second Amendment rights? For not carrying his gun with him? Oh, brother. It seems that they are continuing to work hard and overtime to make it difficult to exercise our guaranteed Second Amendment rights, even when we don't carry it. What a crock. The line has been drawn by the left, and it's time we stepped over it and backed the challenge up with us standing up for our God and constitutional given rights. We're not standing up for them, and it seems like we're constantly being pushed back and being told that we're criminals just because we have a permit to own a gun, whether we have the gun with us or not. Now, I'm thinking that if he'd have had the gun with him, they'd have probably thought of something about some robbery or something that happened somewhere around there, and he'd have probably been charged with it. Who knows? The thing that bothers me about what is going on here is the fact that our government seems to be, at times, working overtime to destroy our constitutional rights in almost every way. Chicago there for a while had it so that nobody was allowed to own a gun. Period. Even though it is our constitutional rights, if you lived in Chicago, you couldn't own a gun. That has been ruled unconstitutional by a judge a couple weeks ago. I mentioned that in my show last week, and I think I mentioned it the week it happened a couple of weeks ago. Since then, I have not heard anything about it. So I don't know what's going on up there. I don't know if the judge's rulings have been caved. I don't know if they are following those rulings or if people can now own guns up there. I don't know. We never hear about it in the media. And it doesn't matter which media it is. It could be the liberal media. It could be the conservative media. I have not been able to find anything about it. And I look at all of them. You'd think somewhere there would be something. There'd been all kinds of stories that I found for this week that I played heck finding, even in the conservative news. So there are things being kept away from us. And there are things that we need to start figuring out, or we're going to start losing big time. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on Conservative Nation, where America always wins. You still think that Islamism and the Muslim Brotherhood are really out there looking after your well-being? This one from Vinenko.com, V-I-N-I-E-N-C-O.com, is titled, Muslims Behead Young Christian Man Wearing Cross Around His Neck. Now, my question of this is, if they were such a peaceful religion, cult, why do we always hear of these beheadings of Christians because of their beliefs? Here is the story. Muslims killed and beheaded a young Christian man and seriously wounded another. The incident, which occurred on January 8th, was reported in Fides only now by the reported to Fides only now by a priest in the Diocese of Homs in Syria. Two, Nader, 29, and Fadi Matanius Mata, 34, were traveling by car from Homs to the Christian village of Mamarita. A group of five armed jihadists intercepted the vehicle and opened fire on the car. Upon reaching the car, the Muslims, noting that Fadi was wearing a cross around his neck, beheaded him. They then took money and documents, leaving Ferris on the ground wounded, believing he was already dead. Ferris instead managed to escape, reaching the town of Al-Shataya on foot, and was then transferred to the hospital in Tartu. Some of the faithful will be able to recover the body of Mata, bringing him to Marmarita, where the local Christian community expressed strong indignation for the horrible act carried out. According to a statement sent to Fides by Aid to the Church in Need, or ACN, violence against Christians in Syria is becoming one of the worst persecutions endured by Christians in this part of the third millennium. According to the latest reports, more than 600,000 Christians, a third of the total Syrian faithful, are internally displaced or living as refugees in neighboring countries. Christian leaders confirm the massive exodus of Christians from Syria, which could seriously jeopardize the future of Christians in the nation. As ACN in the Homs highlights, Marmarita and Hamat, the Syrian population, which includes many Christians, live in severe discomfort without food, heating, shelter, and medicine because of bitter cold weather that has worsened the humanitarian crisis which exists due to the conflict. Now, do you think that Obama would ever denounce this? No, he wouldn't. He believes that this is the right thing to do. So my other question is, why is he even in the White House? We will be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From We the People are 100%FedUp.com came this one. Obama administration helps visiting Muslim Brotherhood delegation enter U.S. without routine airport inspection. And, you know, I read this and my first thought was, what? They subject the American public to this. And so like I said here, to this all I could say was, what? Newly released records confirm a 2012 investigative project on terrorism, the IPT, report that the State Department cleared the way for a visiting delegation of Muslim Brotherhood officials to enter the country without undergoing routine inspection by U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents. It seems like our government just doesn't really give a flying flip about the safety of this country, does it? In April 2012 visit came before the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate was elected Egypt's president, although the Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party had won a plurality of seats in the parliamentary elections. The expedited entry is known as a port courtesy, normally reserved for high-ranking visiting government officials and dignitaries. The records marked sensitive but unclassified were obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request. They offer few details. The State Department released a one-page document labeled Compiled References to MB Delegation Arrival and Departure, containing four separate communications between March 30th and April 16th of 2012 about the Brotherhood delegation. It is not clear who wrote them or who received them. In the coming days, we're going to write down a list of procedures for dealing with the MB visits to the United States, an April 16, 2012 entry says. But one member of the Brotherhood delegation, which met with the U.S. academic and senior government officials, had been linked to a child pornography investigation in the United States years earlier. Under normal circumstances, he likely would have been subjected to extra scrutiny. The records released do not address that issue. They do, however, report that the MBFJP delegation scheduler reported that their arrival at JFK on Saturday went very smoothly. A U.S. official familiar with the immigration procedures told the IPT in 2012 that the exemption for the Brotherhood delegation was extraordinary. You think? The records released comes as the IPT has exclusively reported that at least two Syrian clerics have obtained visas to come to the United States for fundraising tours. For instance, Sheikh Mohammed Rateb al-Nabulsi is in the middle of an 11-city tour across America, co-sponsored by the Syrian American Council, or the SAC, and the Wiley, Texas-based Sham Relief. He apparently obtained a visa despite his written edicts that cast all Jews as legitimate suicide bombing targets in Israel, and his saying homosexuality leads to the destruction of the homosexual. Okay, and that's why homosexuality carries the death penalty. Last spring, Sheikh Osama al-Rifai raised $3.6 million during fundraisers in the United States. He later endorsed the Islamic Front, a coalition of groups fighting Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. Some of the Front's members have al-Qaeda ties. Every single one of you who give any kind of effort to help his brothers in Syria is a jihadist for Allah, al-Rifai told his audience in Dallas. Every single one of you who spread the word to raise the awareness among the others about what's happening in Syria is a jihadist for Allah, he continued. If you can't see that this country has to get rid of all the politicians who follow Obama and Obama himself, and anyone who allows this kind of thing to come into our country without scrutiny, if you are one of these people who think that there's nothing wrong with this, then you are part and parcel of the problems we are facing today. And it seems country is in the midst of a complete denial that we have an enemy here. And the sad part about this is that with all the information coming out about the Muslim Brotherhood, how they think that we here in the West are just infidels and we need to either be exterminated or brought over to their side. This whole thing just reeks of un-Americanism. And the people who, you know, and I can't really blame the people for not doing anything, because 9 times out of 10, we're not learning of it. The press won't answer any questions about it. They won't say anything about it. They continue to totally ignore what is going on here in the United States when it comes to something that, and there are all kinds of things right now that are going on that will hurt this country. One of the things I'm going to talk about later on in the show is Obama's latest nominee for the ambassador to Norway. This man knows absolutely nothing about Norway. But Obama, because he has gotten upwards of $625,000 from this guy as donations for his campaign, rewards him. To hell with what it's going to do to this country. To hell with the fact that this guy doesn't know what the heck he's doing or what the heck he's talking about. Because he donated to Obama, he gets the job whether he's do it or not. It kind of makes me want to just go back to the past when if you were given a job in the government, you were vetted so they knew if you could do the job or not. And if you couldn't, you wouldn't get the job. That doesn't seem to matter anymore, especially with this administration. I have troubles with this. I really, really do. America is being blindsided by its own politicians, by its own leaders. And its own leaders are giving in to the people who want to destroy us. It's just like Israel. Israel is surrounded right now by people who want to destroy them. Israel's fighting for their lives. And the rest of the world is saying, oh, come on, just let them in. It doesn't really matter. Nothing will happen to you. Yet daily they get bombed by these people who are not doing anything to them. The same thing happening here today, with the exception that it's not as bad as it is over there. But mark my words, if we continue down this road, it's gonna be. That's just the way it is, folks. We have to stop being such pansy-ass people who will sit back and allow the government to do everything for us when we know deep in our hearts and even sometimes right blatantly right out in our minds that the government is not there for us. All they are there for is the power and the glory and the money that they can get from us, the people, so they can become rich beyond their wildest dreams. And when they're through with their office, they can go home millionaires. And the problem with that is when it comes to the president, he'll be paid with the wages that he gets right now for the rest of his life. And Obama is not older than me. He's younger than I am. I feel I have a long life ahead of me. But I'll be paying for his wages the rest of my life. I don't like that. As long after he's out of office, I'm still going to be paying for that idiot. I'm still going to be paying for all the things that he has decided to do against me and my country. He still gets a paycheck. We will be right back in a few minutes. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. And it happens all the time, folks. Since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. It's there. You can't miss it. It's right in the middle of the page, I think. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner and join the conservative revolution where America always wins. We will be back in a few moments.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band, Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace. For conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
To tell you a little story today to let you know just how bad things are getting here in America, and sadly, this is a story that has gotten lost in all the other stories out there this week, and it shouldn't be lost. It should be front page news, but our media decides that what is important are the things that don't mean a hill of beans to us or to our future or, you know, to any of the stuff that should keep us safe or stuff like that. But they just keep from us, just to keep from us, keep us from thinking of the things that we need to do to save this country. But the one I want to talk about today is about a police officer, a Houston police officer, whose name is Guy Gaddis. And this is from the LA Slimes. In 1994, he was shot in the back of the head 3 times in his patrol car. He was murdered by somebody named Edgar Tamayo. Now, Edgar Tamayo, I think, was executed this week in Texas, and I got this story on Wednesday. Edgar Tamayo was an illegal alien, and as the LA Slimes, as Mark Levin calls it, reports, it as a Mexican national facing execution in Texas this week, but listen to this, has drawn support from Mexican officials. We shouldn't even be in the mix here. The former Texas governor, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who appealed to Texas Governor Rick Perry and the state courts for a reprieve so far unsuccessfully, as of Wednesday or Thursday. Edgar Tamayo, 46, a Mexican citizen, was scheduled to put to death on Wednesday of this week. Actually, I got this on early Wednesday, for fatally shooting Officer Guy Gaddis in 1994. Gaddis, who was 24 at the time, had been flagged down near a nightclub by a man who accused Tamayo of robbing him. So the officer arrested Tamayo, handcuffed him, and put him in the back of his patrol car. The officer was driving away when Tomeo drew a pistol, which had been concealed, and shot Gaddis not once, not twice, but three times in the back of the head. Tomeo's attorneys have appeals pending and a hearing has been scheduled in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas in Austin, Texas. On Sunday, last Sunday, Mexico's foreign minister released a statement objecting to the execution. They didn't apologize to the murdered American police officer's family. They said if Edgar Tomeo's execution was to go ahead without being reviewed and his sentence reconsidered, it would be a clear violation of America's international obligations, the statement said in Spanish. Didn't say it in English, said it in Spanish. The Mexican government opposes the death penalty, and it's determined to use all available resources, those nationals endangered, into receiving such a sentence. So the corrupt, socialist, disastrous Mexican government would treat so many of its people like dirt that they try to escape and come into this country, now is reaching into our country and telling us how to conduct ourselves when it comes to a cold-blooded cop killer. The 32 states with capital punishment have executed 28 foreign nationals since 1976, and I want you to consider how few that is, considering how many people have come here from all over the world. Since 1976, only 28. And Tomeo, a laborer from Morales, Mexico, was in the U.S. illegally at the time of his arrest. Advocates argue that he wasn't informed of his right to diplomatic assistance under the international treaty known as the Vienna Conventional Consular Relations. 10 years ago, the UN, and you know just how much of a disgusting place that is, the UN's Court of Justice, also known as the World Court, ordered the United States to reconsider the convictions of 51 Mexicans, including Tomeo, who have been sentenced to death row without being informed of their consular rights. Now they're in America. They were treated like American citizens, my friends. They were read their rights. Think of this, folks. Read their rights like a citizen. But they weren't given their consular rights. You would think if somebody comes here illegally, they would forfeit all of the rest of that garbage, and they would be stuck with our criminal justice system just like the rest of us. Two of the 51 have since been executed, both in Texas. Joe Magellan, 33, was put to death in 2008 for the 1993 rape and murder of two teenage girls in Houston. Oh, how horrific of Texas. Can you hear the Mexican government telling us that? I can. Now, I want you to listen to this. Before Magellan's execution, President George W. Bush ordered Texas and other states to review the Mexican nationals' convictions. But the state's then Solicitor General, now Senator Ted Cruz, persuaded the United States Supreme Court to rule that the President of the United States had no authority to order state courts to honor the World Court's decision. And this is what George W. Bush wanted to do. The federal government had to order state courts to comply with an international court. Tomeo and nine others Mexican nationals were on Texas's death row. 3 years later, one of them, Humberto Leo, with 38, was executed for the 1994 rape and beating of a 16-year-old San Antonio girl. Mexican officials have tried to stop Tomeo's execution. Morales governor, oh hell, a whole bunch of them. Former Texas governor and attorney general Mark White, Democrat, joined the effort, as did John Kerry. Last fall, Kerry wrote a letter to Governor Perry and Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, urging them to reconsider Tomeo's execution because it would make it more difficult to help Americans in trouble when abroad. So let me ask you this, my friends. If an American is in Mexico illegally and shoots a Mexican police officer in the back of the head three times, why would we care? Why do we care? But if a Mexican or anybody comes in this country illegally from anywhere in the world and shoots an American police officer in the back of the head three times, we do care. We do care. Kerry wrote, "I have no reason to doubt the facts of Mr. Tomeo's conviction." Really? And as a former prosecutor, now I have to stop there. Kerry, I have no sympathy, you know, and he goes on to say, I have no sympathy for anyone who would murder a police officer, he wrote. But he added he was concerned that the state's handling of the case could affect how Americans are treated overseas. Oh, hell, this is that what this is all about? Really? It's about being chicken shit, lily livered. It's about us showing the world we're lily livered cowards. You know how the liberal government wants us all to act? After all those drug cartels in Mexico, are they concerned about, they are very concerned about the rule of law, aren't they? Al-Qaeda, oh, yes, we can think of them all day. They are very concerned. Pirates off of Somalia, they are very concerned about the rule of law. Oh, no, they are not going to mistreat Americans because, oh, my gosh, how will we treat them? Or how will they treat us? It's amazing, isn't it? Basically, what they're arguing is this cold-blooded cop killer should be treated better than an American citizen or a citizen of Texas. Now, country like ours where criminals have come across the border illegally and want to do us harm. What do you think that would make them, do you think it would make them become less violent? I don't think so. If a police officer stops them, our politicians are driving us straight to hell, folks. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, just like I think it is in all of ours who listen to this show. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you get your, and you know, you get the idea, but it would be cool if he did. But you get your dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, heard here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From the Daily Caller, I read this one titled, The Obamacare Enrollment Campaign's Fuzzy Millennial Math. You better keep a close eye on your wallet this month because the government spin masters and money grabbers are out in full force. They're working to simultaneously placate and extort an Obamacare-weary public in the wake of dismal sign-up numbers. And we all knew this was coming, didn't we? But fear not, citizen. All you need to know about the demographics of Obamacare enrollment is that everything is fine. And there's nothing to see here, except that it's unclear how many people have actually paid their premiums. 3.9 million have been added to the already troubled Medicaid rolls, and only 21% of enrollees are paying their premiums in full without government assistance. Oh, and the little fact that more people have had the insurance they like banned by Obamacare than signed up through the exchanges by a figure of 2.5 million. That's no big deal, right? Just ignore all the lies used to sell Obamacare and trust that politicians and their cronies have your best interests at heart. If only life were that simple. Here in the real world, the economic and social costs of Obamacare cannot simply be written off. As this chart from CNN shows, only 24% of the 2.2 million Obamacare enrollees are between the ages of 18 and 34. What remains unclear is how many 18 to 25-year-olds were added as dependents to family plans, thus contributing less in premiums than their peers who purchased individual coverage. And even if you assume everyone in that 24% bought a plan on their own, it's important to remember that the White House originally had a goal of wrangling 2.7 million in that age bracket, ostensibly to offset the cost of the sticker of the sicker Americans who would surely sign up due to guaranteed issue. Juncture, they've only managed to bait about 648,000 into the Obamacare trap, some of whom are dependent adult children. So naturally, they're hoping to lure more of us with desperate gimmicks like Youth Enrollment Day, this post-Valentine's Day extravaganza during which we can only hope they're spared frantic free were spared frantic free birth control patches, is expected to consist of the White House partnering with their resident millennial mouthpieces at Young Invincible, the group that's taking shady Obamacare math to newly disingenuous heights. In response to this data, Young Invincible stated that 30% of new enrollees are under 35. Their implication is that all 660,000 of the people between the ages of 0 and 34 counted in the new enrollment statistics purchased their own individual plans, a claim that's simply quite inaccurate. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at UnitedWay.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
It breaks my heart.
Dinesh D'Souza, a controversial political commentator, author, and former president of King's College, was indicted today by a grand jury for alleged campaign finance fraud. And this was, yesterday. U.S. Attorney Prit Bahara's office announced this evening, and it was yesterday, according to the office, Mr. D'Souza, 52, is charged with violating the federal campaign finance laws by making illegal contributions to a United States Senate campaign in the names of others and causing false statements to be made to the Federal Election Commission in connection with those contributions. According to a complaint, Mr. D'Souza, it kind of makes you wonder who this complaint was from. But according to his complaint, Mr. D'Souza contributed $20,000 to a New York Senate candidate's campaign, five times the legal limit, by using straw donors whom he later reimbursed. FEC campaign finance records show Mr. D'Souza made two $2,500 contributions to long-shot Republican New York U.S. Senator candidate Wendy Long in March of 2012, the maximum allowed. Mr. D'Souza's wife at the time, Dixie D'Souza, also gave $5,000 that March, records show. Ms. Long was handily defeated in the general election by Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand. And that kind of shows, again, just how bad this country is. And hello, Duke. Nice to see you there. The candidate in question was unaware that Mr. D'Souza's allegedly illicit activities, oh brother, the indictment says. The indictment is just the latest by Mr. Behara, who has gone after political corruption. But it seems like it's only on the right that he's interested in here. He's gone after it aggressively in recent months. As long as we have long said, he said the office and the FBI take a zero-tolerance approach to corruption of our electoral process. If, as alleged, the defendant directed others to make contributions to the Senate campaign and reimburse them, that is a serious violation of federal campaign finance laws, he said. Mr. D'Souza is a well-known conservative commentator and best-selling author who was forced to step down as president of the Christian King's College in October of 2012 after reports surfaced that he had checked into a hotel with a woman he introduced as his fiancée, even though he was married to another woman, according to reports at the time. He most recently drew fire when he called President Barack Obama a grown-up Trayvon on Twitter. Well, isn't that the truth, though? Mr. D'Souza did not immediately respond to a request for comment, but his attorney, Benjamin Brothman, issued a statement and said, at worst, this was an act of misguided friendship by D'Souza. It is important to note that the indictment does not allege a corrupt relationship between Mr. D'Souza and the candidate. Mr. Brothman said, there is never a corrupt agreement. There was never any corrupt agreement of any kind, nor was there any request made that the candidate take any action or refrain from taking any action as a candidate or as a U.S. senator if her political campaign were to have been successful. Simply put, there was no quid pro quo in this case, nor was there any knowledge by the candidate that campaign finance rules may have been violated. Mr. D'Souza did not act with any corrupt or criminal intent whatsoever. He and the candidate have been friends since their college days, and at worst, this was an act of misguided friendship by D'Souza. That was a quote by Mr. Brothman. It seems that no matter who we have on our side, if they make more than just a little ripple in the makeup of life, according to a liberal, then they will attack and bring that person down. As I sit here in my studio doing my show in the small town west of Indianapolis, I have the ability to be heard worldwide and by millions of people, but I don't really have to worry about the liberals going after me because I'm just a little fish in this great big sea, and yet what I have to say here is the same things that the big fish like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Mark Levin say. And though I don't have the audiences that they do, I'm still out here trying, as should all of you who listen to this show. It doesn't matter if you don't reach millions of people. You just never know. You might, in your own way, be reaching more people than you even think is possible. But you need to stop trying. You need to keep trying, because if you stop, if I stop, then the liberals and the socialists of this country win. And if they win, where would we be? Think on that one for a while. This country comes back to the fact that any freedoms that we have are not, as Reagan said, are not passed down in our bloodstream to future generations. It has to be fought for and defended every generation. And this generation's fight seems to be going right directly at our own government, because our own government is doing everything they can to make sure that socialism is the norm. Our own government is trying to make us think that all the truths that we know to be true are actually wrong and are not the things that we need to be following and need to be listening to. We don't need to be following the Constitution, according to many in our government today. It's an outdated document that is out of date, changed, and because of that, we need to change with those times. No. We need to continue to strive to work for freedom, because like I said before, it's just like Reagan said, freedom is not passed along in the bloodstream. It needs to be fought for with each generation. Because if we don't, then freedom becomes extinct. And it's like, you know, Duke said in the chat room, he said that Gilliland was in this that I was talking about, is a commie pinkle. Exactly what he is. And no matter how we think here, folks, no matter how nice they seem to be, if they are a liberal, then they are closer to communism than we want in this country. But we have to stop allowing them to go into office and run this country from the highest offices. One of the things that really bothers me about what is going on in this country right now is that we are allowing our president to use race to browbeat us because we don't follow him as closely as he would want us to follow him. He wants us to bow down to him and lick his boots and let him know that we worship the ground he walks on. When just the opposite is actually true, I constantly hope he walks off of a plane and a sinkhole develops right under his feet and he disappears. That would be the best thing that could happen to America now or in the future. It would be the best thing. It would get rid of a tyrant who is tearing this country to bits. And we have to start thinking of it this way, folks. If we don't, America is going to disappear. I mean, the country will always be here. The continent will always be here. But America will not. If we continue to allow her to be led down the path that we're allowing her to be led down now. Constitution and some of the things that are being forced into us are not compatible. Sharia law and the Constitution are not compatible. The Muslim Brotherhood does not want to follow our Constitution. They want to get rid of it. They think we're all infidels that deserve nothing more than beheading or being taken out in the back and shot. Unless, of course, we decide to say, hey, we'll follow you guys. Then we're slightly okay. But we will never be okay in their eyes. It doesn't matter how much we decide we want to be like them or not like them. Either way, we're still in their eyes. And that's just the way that the cookie crumbles, don't you think? I have been watching both of my clocks, and they're off like they were last week again. But we will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on conservativenationmedia.com. And we will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it? It's already bent. in the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzz driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
From the heartland of America, broadcasting from West Central Indiana, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show. Again, I am your host, Robert Garding, letting you know that we are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style, and Obama can't take that without reprisal. You are listening to hour two of the show, where we continue working for you to let you know what the government is doing to us. We are being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, here again is your host and the second hour of the show.
Welcome back to the second hour. I found this story on Breitbart.com, and it simply is about four idiots, and that's essentially all I can say about these guys, who glued themselves to gas pumps, but you'll never guess why. They were environmentalists, and maybe now you can guess why. On Monday, four members of an anti-fracking group wound up in jail for using bicycle locks and glue to fasten themselves to gas pumps at a petrol station in Great Lever, England. The group sacrificed themselves in order to protest the hydraulic fracking activities of Total, a French petroleum company. But to their embarrassment, the group sacrificed themselves to the wrong petrol station, which was no longer owned by Total. The petrol station was owned by Certis Energy, who neglected to take down the signs after buying the station. The petrol station's manager, Rizwan Patel, commented that some protesters were peaceful, but that those who shackled themselves to the pumps were stupid and have cost us a lot of money, unquote. He added that, quote, we had to close for about 6 hours so that the loss of customers and the damage to the pumps could be at a couple thousand pounds we have lost, unquote. The four activists were not only ridiculed by Rizwan, but also were excoriated by the local environment group, the Bolton Green Party. The party chairman, Alan Johnson, exclaimed, "I was very annoyed, and I have to stress that these people have nothing to do with our protest. They were there to protest peacefully and warn people about the dangers of fracking, and these people have put themselves and others in danger." A borough of Greater Manchester, anti-fracking groups have been rallying to protest hydraulic fracturing or fracking in the UK. Fracking is controversial because of the potential risks and process may have on the environment and water supply. Oh, brother, this is freaking ridiculous. It's the same thing going on here in America. These people think that if we have any way to get oil out of the ground, then it's got to be bad for the environment. It's got to be bad for us. Where is their common sense? I sure as heck don't see any, because they're just downright stupid. Was watching a video from an American citizen who was ripping into President Obama for his so-called fairness to the people by coming down on the rich for not paying enough taxes, always saying that they make enough money, they need to pay more taxes. But this man brought up some points that I've been bringing up for decades now, and yes, since even before Obama. Every liberal and even some of the Republicans who made it to high office in this land have done this very same thing. The rich make too much money. They need to be taxed more. Okay. What about all the people who don't pay taxes at all? What about all the loopholes in place to protect friends of the politicians in high office from taxes that they should rightfully pay? What about the politicians who don't pay taxes they are supposed to? I agree with this man who came down on Barack Obama for wanting to tax the rich more. You are wrong, sir. And I'm talking to Obama. The rich pay over 51% of the taxes. And without the rich, the poor would be in worse shape. Not only do the rich pay the wages of the poor, they give to charities and other things to help the poor. Here are some of the things that this man said. Quote, President Obama, there you go again. You lied to the American people for the last 4.5 years, and the American people are sick and tired of it. You raised our taxes while going on television and telling us that you didn't. You lied about the sequester. You lied about the fiscal cliff. You said that the taxes on the poor would go up if we didn't pass it. And then when you passed it, they went up anyway. Now you want us to pass a $1 trillion tax increase? And then when Obamacare kicks in, oh boy, that's going to really piss people off, because all your supporters in January 2014, when Obamacare kicks in and they see what a monstrosity that is, you know what's going to happen? All your supporters, everybody in this country is going to rise up, and they're going to start the Tea Party, and they're going to start joining the Tea Party in record numbers, and the Tea Party is going to come back bigger, better, stronger in November of 2014. All the establishment Republicans, all those kick-ass bastards, all those Democrats, they're going to get their asses kicked out of office. You know what? The conservatives and the Tea Party are going to take the House and the Senate, and they're going to get questions and answers on Benghazi. If we don't get them, guess what? We're going to impeach your ass. That's what we're going to do. We're sick and tired of this bullshit. You got it? Thank you. Unquote. Now, I kind of enjoyed watching this video, but he left out a few things. In a new poll, Obama is still supported by 43% of the people. If we are so stupid to have that many people still supporting him after all he has done to destroy our way of life, then I don't think it will happen what this man said. I hope it does, but 43% of the American people are totally stupid, especially when they support Barack Hussein Obama. And these 43%, they are the ones that will be crying the loudest when Obamacare really kicks them in the butts in their pocketbooks, and it will happen. Mark my words. In the comments below the video were some that said, something tells me there is an IRS audit coming in this gentleman's future, to which he replied, I already got 3 IRS audits in the last 4 years, something that any one of us who oppose Obama has in our future, unless things get changed. And soon, I am thinking. But what we've got here is showing that if you oppose Obama in any way, you have the possibility of being audited by the IRS. You've got the possibility of police showing up at your door to take you away because you supposedly did something that at the moment you don't know anything about. One of the reasons why I'm glad I don't live in Washington, D.C. or Chicago and do this show. It would be a little more difficult in a liberal bastion like that rather than right out in the middle of nowhere where most everybody around me believes the way that I do. And welcome to the show, Atomic Ray. Glad to see you here. We have to start realizing, folks, that America is the greatest country this world has ever seen, and we are under attack, not just by our enemies, but by people in our own government. They are trying to tear down this Constitution. They are doing everything they can to make sure that our rights are taken away, and they do it in such a way that we don't notice it happening until all of a sudden we look back and, well, we don't have the rights that we had a year or so ago. Wonder what the heck happened here. Our government has taken them from us, and that's just the way they want it to happen. And that's the reason why they do things the way they do, because they want it to happen, but they know that if they go too fast, we're going to catch on. But that's just the way it is. It should come as no surprise that our Constitution, like I was saying here a couple seconds ago, the basis of our nation and the central core of our values is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end around the Articles and Amendments, the greatest governing document of all time. And if you are tired of the leftist and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, he advised that a lot of real Americans like you and me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand, to name a few. Great music, great food, and great times will be had by all, you know. And I know that I am planning to be there with my wife and kids. It will be a fun and informative day for everyone. So go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com and learn more about this great event, and I hope to see you all there. It will be a lot of fun. We now have a professor who suggests that Thomas Jefferson was accused of being a secret Muslim. This one by Robert Spencer on January 17, 2014, and uncategorized with 24 comments. Delberg, an associate professor of history and Middle Eastern studies at the University of Texas at Austin. She is the author of Thomas Jefferson's Quran, Islam and the Founders. From the looks of this article, the book is likely to be a melange of half-truths and distortions, an invention designed to portray Thomas Jefferson as a proto-multicultural dhimmi and resistance to jihad terror as bigotry. Here she tries to create quite false impression that Thomas Jefferson was accused of being a Muslim, or at the very least an admirer of Islam. Reality was quite different, but that has never stopped leftist mythologizing. Jefferson was the first president defamed for mentioning Islam by Denise A. Silberg for the Free Lance Star, January 14th. Goes on to write, "Love your neighbor as yourself and your country more than yourself," wrote Thomas Jefferson the year before his death. Who did he include among his neighbors in the blueprint for the nation that he loved so much? Jefferson implicitly included Muslims in his patriotic rendering of the Golden Rule. Many may find this idea startling today, but the explicit proof for it exists. Yeah, right. They always tell us the explicit truth exists, but they never tell us where they got it from or how to find what they found. She goes on to say, how ridiculous. In the first place, the golden rule is not love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Spencer, the article went on to say, this is how ridiculous. In the first place, the golden rule is not love your neighbor as yourself, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Second, Denise A. Spielberg tries to defame the resistance to jihad terror by characterizing it as a desire to deny Muslims the protection of the Golden Rule, echoing the hysterical claims of Islamophobia mongers that foes of terror want to deny Muslims equality of rights before the law. Do read it all at the URL. It's dumbfounding in its attempt to change history. Spencer also wrote, also had a video of Keith Ellison on the Morning Joe in which he mentioned his book, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, which wasn't the point of Spencer showing the video. You can see it at www.jihadwatch.org/2014/01/Representative Keith Ellison, E. Muslim Brotherhood, likens jihad terror to struggle in U.S. against income equality, which sent me into orbit. I mean, think about it. The is God, and Ellison's playing games, making us think he's thinking that too, but he's not. He means Allah. So I went for the reviews on it. Found one from Kirkus Reviews, a biggie in the review world. It was a love fest, in case you don't have time to read it. Found three on Amazon, no professional reviews there so far for some reason. I like this one, surprise, surprise. If you're looking to waste the cover price for ramblings and ravings of a quarter-baked radical, go ahead. This is a man who can't even decide what his real name is and has in the past advocated ambushing police officers, liar and wolf in sheep's clothing, the best urban governance provides, unquote. I would like to think they won't get better. Hopeless wish, of course. There are 331 reviews on Goodreads, but I can't seem to access them. Me, I'm not going to buy it. Surprise, surprise. Last week I did a segment on a post from Charlie Daniels, and he always ends with the quote, "What do you think?" I think this would be a good idea if you are talking to someone who seems interested in what is going on here in America. You ask that of a conservative or someone who believes in the Constitution, you will get an answer as to what they think. But you ask a liberal and you will get anything from "what does it matter to you" to "it's none of your damn business." If ever I had that said to me, I would tell them it's my country and I believe that we are being led down the wrong path by your cronies in Washington. It is therefore my business because I am making it my business. As an American citizen, I have every right in the world to know just what our leaders are doing and how to stop them if they are not doing what is good for this country. If you don't believe the same thing, then you are part and parcel of the problem and you need to leave and go somewhere where your opinion matters, because it doesn't here. So what do you think? We will be right back.
Okay. 80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work from people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect to Compete and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place, you know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
See the girl with symbols on her fingers entering through the door. Ruby glistening from her navel, shimmering around her floor. Bells are beat going ting-a-ling-a-linging, going through my head.
Sweat is
falling just like a teardrop running from her head.
From IggyMom.com, and that's someone who comes here often in my chat room and does a blog also. She had this one entitled, Obama to bring 30,000 Syrian Muslims, not Christians, to the U.S. And I, again, it's something that I looked at and I said, oh, really? Outrage? There is no outrage at anything Dumbozo the clown does to the U.S. He's keeping his promise, the only one he's kept, to make the U.S. into a Muslim nation by the end of his second term. Congress morons won't say anything because they don't want to irritate the little man boy. Because he'll pout, and they don't want to see that. If there aren't enough jobs left for these muzzy refugees, Buzzo would give them, each one of them, an apartment, food, clothing, and a new car, all compliments of the American people. Not enough money for that? Well, he'll just slap another tax on Americans. We're a rich country, don't you know? The problem with this whole thing is Obama has said, if you will remember, that we are not a Christian nation. He is working his damnedest to make sure that we are not bringing Muslims here, and there's no outrage. I think the main reason that there is no outrage is because the media is totally ignoring this, totally. So that means that a majority of the people do not even know about this. But it is time that we started researching and looking into what this government of ours is doing. It is time we started making our politicians feel the consequences of their actions against us. We have never done that, and because of that, we have a majority of politicians who think they can do anything they damn well please because nothing will happen to them. Obama is one of these types. He will do anything because he is above the law. After all, he makes it illegally, of course, but he still does that. Remember a week ago when I talked of this? I keep looking at the state of our country and then hearing of polls that tell me Obama still has about half the people who think he is okay. Okay? How much worse does this country have to get before everyone stops following him and thinking he is doing good? I'm beginning to think that it will not happen unless we all rise up and vote them out of office. All the ones who will not follow the Constitution at all times. We have politicians like John McCain, who most of the time doesn't seem to like America as founded. And then when you feel he is totally out of touch and needs to be brought down, comes out with a moment of lucidity that shows he still knows that America's founding was right. But sadly, that moment doesn't last long. Then we have ones like Lindsey Graham, who doesn't have any of those moments, and Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, and that no matter how much they say against America, keep getting reelected. And they have almost all survived races against good conservative people. This in itself is one thing that tells me all the time that this country is in real trouble. Trouble that will take us all down with it before too long if we don't change the way things are done in Washington, D.C. Right now, all newcomers to Washington are told that if they are new, they have to keep their mouths shut and learn the way things are done there. Sadly, most do just that. Some, like Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, do not. And without them, we would be much worse off than we are now. But they cannot do it alone. They need our help and our input. One of the reasons that I always send off emails and subscribe to their newsletters and mailings, I want to let them know what they are doing is appreciated by us. And I know this, and know this, if they get correspondence about something telling them that things have to change, they know things need to change. What would happen if they got thousands? That would be our goal, maybe even millions. It is possible in a country as large as America, don't you think? Washington is not doing things the right way, folks. It doesn't matter that everyone who goes there is given a dose of how things are done here. Things are wrong in Washington. They keep talking about how our immigration laws are out of date and need to be reformed, but that is all out wrong. They just need to be enforced. What is out of date and needs to be reformed is the way things are done in Washington. That is what is not right. And the Constitution gives the people the way to change it. We have to stop being complacent about the way things are done here. We are losing our freedoms daily by just doing exactly that. It's time we work to get our America back, and there are good ways to do it. In April, we have the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee on the 26th, 27th, and 28th of April, I think, are the days. That, my friends, is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Make it a weekend trip and come if you are not too far away. There is another one in Dearborn, Michigan in June. So they are happening. Now the ball is in our court. It's time we started taking action to take this country back from the politicians who have taken it and our freedoms away before. It is way too late. And it's just as simple as that, folks. We have to start watching what is going on in this country because we are losing our freedoms daily. And they're doing it in such a way now that if we just sit there and look at what's going on, we'll see it happening. But it's been going on for so long now that it's like it's normal. It's like we have been conditioned to feel that all we have to do is just sit back. The government will take care of us. If we lose some freedom, so what? It'll help in the long run. Is what is getting us into the trouble that we are in now. We are following along thinking that everything is hunky-dory and we are losing our freedoms daily. And it's something that we have got to stop allowing no matter what is going on. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it. Cover it all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques, outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com. That's one word, conservativenationmedia, and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year, 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
The following is an article from the blog Daily Roll Call by Kathy Hinners. You have heard her name here on Conservative Nation Media, titled Samar Ali, Her Father's Organization Wants to Destroy Israel. And it was posted in her Muslim Brotherhood category, and it was from TN4 Political Justice at .wordpress.com. The article read, Dr. Subhai Ali, chairman of the Jerusalem Fund, is the father of Haslam appointee Samar Ali. Dr. Ali's organization advocates BDS, or boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel in a way to as a way to end Israel as a Jewish state, to destroy it by any means possible. Hisham Shirabi, who founded the Jerusalem Fund, or JF, in 1990, along with its programmatic arms, including the Palestinian Center, previously named the Center for Policy Analysis on Palestine, endorsed the anti-Israel rhetoric and actions of pro-Palestinian groups like Hamas. As detailed in the newsletter number 39, Dr. Ali joined the JF in 2000, became vice chair in 2004 along with founder Shirabi, and has served as chairman since 2005. The Hamas chapter is posted on the JF website along with the position papers and information briefs suggesting that there are positive aspects to Hamas. Well, I don't think there is, but neither here nor there. This is, it goes on to say, this is JF's effort to legitimize Hamas regarding its terrorist designation, or is it because JF's founder, Shirabi, ported Hamas strikes against Israel? The terrorism financing prosecution, referred to as the Holy Foundation, or HLF, involved the largest pro-Palestinian Islamic charity in the U.S. It was designated as a specifically designated global terrorist and shut down by the U.S. government. Its leadership was convicted for raising money for the designated terrorist group Hamas. Just like the Jerusalem Fund, HLF's mission was to provide humanitarian assistance to needy Palestinians living in the West, in the West Bank and Gaza. But HLF was proven to be a funding source for Hamas, whose avowed purpose is to destroy Israel. The Hamas charter advocates violent jihad as the only solution. And that's coming here, folks. It really is. The charter identifies Hamas as Muslim Brotherhood. In 1979 report, anti-Israeli influences in American churches referred to Dr. Hisham Shirabi, president of the National Association of Arab Americans, who has been publicly criticized by moderate Arab American leaders for his Defense of Palestinian Terrorist Tactics. A former student also noted Shirabi's support of radical Palestinian terror groups. Shirabi described Hamas as the true fetus or self-sacrifice resistance in Palestine since the outbreak of the Palestinian Intifada, I guess, in 2003. He said, in the face of relentless Israeli force, the only weapon the helpless and desperate have is to fling their bodies against the beast. Suicide bombings are no longer the lone act of desperate fanatics, but also have become a conscious weapon of resistance and war. The culture of death and self-sacrifice is spreading in many Arab and Muslim countries, unquote. Of course, when you consider Shirabi's affiliation with the WISE and Sami al-Aryan of Palestinian Islamic Jihad notoriety, it all makes more sense. The Jerusalem Fund and BDS, keeping with its anti-Israel campaign, Yusuf Munyar, position as director of the Jerusalem Fund, openly supports and advocates for BDS against the State of Israel. In a January 2013 Palestine Note video interview, J.F. Munyar discusses his support for BDS. While he is disappointed that BDS has not yet been adopted by world governments, being blocked for now by the U.S. at the U.N. Security Council, Munyar resigns himself to accepting BDS initiatives from non-state actors. As he says, while BDS is not the most efficient way, BDS is the only option people have left. Sounds eerily similar to the justification given for why Palestinian suicide bombers blow themselves up in civilian settings like the Sbarbo pizza restaurant and why the terrorists are subsequently glorified by their media. Why does this leadership in Jerusalem Fund promote BDS? Because the end goal of the BDS movement is to end Israel as a Jewish state and destroying Israel by means destroying Jews, some objective as the radical Palestinian terror groups Shirabi is reported to have supported, just different means. Former Jerusalem Fund Palestinian fellow and Electronic Intifada co-founder Ali Abuna is virulently hateful anti-Israel voice on the internet and on the speaking circuit, including college campuses. He served as vice president of the board of Arab American Action Network, a controversial anti-Israel organization founded by Rashad Khaladi and his wife, who is coincidentally are friendly with the Obamas. Shirabi, Ali, Munyar, and Abu Mina, and their fellow Israel haters well understood that the Palestinian suicide bombers of the Second Intifada in 2000 laid the foundation for the BDS assault on Israel's legitimacy and right to exist. There is also a matter of Subai Ali's financial support for anti-Israel politicians like U.S. Representative Cynthia McKinney. Is that why he also donated to Tennessee Senator Mark Norris? When news first broke, the first questions were raised about Samir Ali's hiring. ECD Commissioner Bill Haggerty told the June session of First Tuesday that Subhi Ali called him and asked him to look at Samar's resume, which includes work done on behalf of the Jerusalem Fund. Sounds like Haggerty knows Subai and his family pretty well. Makes you wonder whether Haggerty agrees with their politics. This whole thing just really drives me nuts. We have things going on that just really drive me nuts, but you know, and I'm going to go in a different direction right at the moment because we have things going on. I was watching this morning, Imus in the morning, something that I normally don't do, but he had a guest on there, and the guest was it took me a while to figure out who he was. His name was Stuart Varney. He is a Fox Business person. But Imus started out the interview this morning, and it was on TV this morning, and I was watching the conversation. It started with Imus asking his guest if he was against people being able to get assault weapons. And his guest was great in his discussion. He said, first off, define assault weapons. Imus said, okay, how about AK-47s? Are you against people having them? And his guest said, I passionately believe in the people's right to bear arms, period. So Imus then said, so do you think that there should be no restrictions on the people's right to buy arms? And his guest said, of course there should be some restrictions, but restrictions within reason. I might have a bazooka, but I want those restrictions with that come in with logical and reasonable thought behind them. And then I must ask, do you think that they should sell assault weapons like the ones used to murder those kids in Connecticut? And Varney said, I don't have a real problem with them being sold. No, because what I see is our government is increasing encroachment on my right to bear arms, increasing it, defining it so narrowly that it essentially essentially you get rid of it. Look, I come from England, he says. That's my home country, so to speak. They have banned all handguns in Britain, all of them. You are not allowed to have them, and what's happened? The rate of property crime and burglary and the rate of young toughs going into old people's homes is 5 times higher than what it is in the U.S., and the murder rate has gone up astronomically on that one. And I must then ask about the necessity of defending yourself, so why be able to buy assault weapons? Because they are not necessary. So why not a shotgun? And his guest again said, so you can only have a gun if it is necessary? Define necessary. I must then brought up hunting. People don't go out hunting deer or duck with them. There's just no reason for an AK-47 unless you're in the military or the Navy SEAL or something. And his guest came right back. I am not allowed to the enjoyment of wanting to fire what you call an assault weapon? Imus came back with, well, I guess you are allowed. It's just not a view that I share with you. His guest then came back with, then I guess you don't favor the Constitution and your right to bear arms. This is the kind of guest that they need on these liberal shows or the liberal politicians when they go after our guns. I think this man that was Stuart Varney, though he kind of reminded me of Lord Monckton in a lot of ways, he had the correct answer every time he was asked about banning guns. We need more of this. And sadly, this came not from a person from America, although he lives here now. It came from a person who came from England. But he sees what is going on, and I wish the rest of us did too. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing. And we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's sight, insight, and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's tomorrow, 5 Central. I start thinking of things, you know, because he does a great show, and I love listening to it. And to me, it is a great thing that he has gotten his own show. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we are making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, that's tomorrow, Sundays, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And this next one caught my attention because I love eating at Subway. But that may change now with their new campaign, and it is sad because I like Subway. But I can't stand seeing images of Michelle Obama around where I want to eat. What a way to lose my appetite. They should put something, you know, her picture in places where people want to diet or something like that. But even though it is a good idea to eat good, good food, it's a good idea. The idea of using the mooch as someone I want to see hanging on the wall when I eat just turns my stomach in more ways than it wants to be turned. When I see photos of this woman, I always hear her saying that she has never been proud of her country before Obama won the nomination for president. Why couldn't they have used Laura Bush? She was always for the same thing. She always wanted, and she has always loved this country. You know, she has always been for good food for our children and things like that. But and that was even before her husband became president or before he even entered public life and politics. To use someone who hates America as someone telling us we need to eat better so we can be healthier makes me think that maybe Subway will poison us to get rid of us. Of course, that won't be true, but the Obamas, after all, do not like America. And if they don't like America, they sure don't wish the best for us now, do they? Especially Michelle. This one kind of goes right along the same lines as my next story, how the truth and what is good for America doesn't seem to be important anymore. Why is that? Think on that, the liberal left stand, what the liberal left stands for, if you don't have to, and you don't have to have me to answer that one. I'm sure that you will see. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to stand for America now.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
And finally, we here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. Obama's pick for the ambassador of Norway is nothing but a big donor who has been rewarded for his money giving to the Democrats and Obama. Now, why do I say that? If you look at this person's qualifications for the job, you don't see any. The only qualification that George Stunis has is that he has donated huge sums of money to Obama. Whatever happened to the time-tested good way of doing things of offering high-information jobs like the ambassador of Norway to someone who actually knows something about the subject or about the country. My friend, this is where we conservatives are stuck and where the liberals have a leash on our necks. We know what we want, we just don't know how to counter what the Democrats are doing to get what they want, which typically is just the opposite of what is needed for the good of this nation. At least that has been the liberal mentality for the last 80 to 100 years, maybe even beyond that. We have people now saying that Thomas Jefferson was no good for America and what we believe because he was a secret Muslim. Okay, where's the proof? They tell us they've got it, but they won't give us where they got it from. Obama says that his pick, George Tsunis, was the best person for the job for being ambassador to Norway. Okay, where's the proof? You see, we on the right are not radicals. We just want proof, proof of what you liberals say is the truth. And yes, no matter what the liberals do, change what the truth is, it will always remain the same. The truth is what is really happening or what has really happened. The liberal keeps pushing out stories that go against what the truth really is and then push it as the truth, going for the old adage that if you tell a lie enough times, it will soon be conceived as the truth. Even if a lie is now considered the truth by the majority of the people, even if it is considered the truth by all of the people, it is still a lie. That is, in that, the liberals lose. But the Republicans lose for now because they will not stand up for the truth. And this whole fiasco with George Tsunis is nothing more than a mess created by an American Constitution-hating president who put someone into office who will not do what is good for America, and it goes through, no fight. What is the matter with the intelligence that used to define America? I will tell you, folks, what is the matter with it is that we on the right, with the exception of a few who will fight for it, is full of cowards who will not stand up and fight for the truth when the opportunity arises. John McCain is one of these, and he will back Obama unless he gets wind that what he is doing is hurting his chances to stay in office. Remember, a few months ago now, how the rumor went around about him quitting at the end of his term. Have you heard anything more about that lately? I highly doubt it if you have, because I haven't, and I look long and hard for what I look fine for this show from all news outlets, not just a few. We need to start watching what is going on, and this nomination of George Tsunis for office of ambassador of Norway is not the way it is supposed to go. He thinks they have a president. They don't. They are a constitutional monarchy. He also thinks that Norway's Progress Party is hated by the government. It isn't. They are actually a part of a coalition of the government, which McCain actually did pretty much the right thing when he sarcastically responded, "I have no more questions for this incredibly highly qualified group of nominees." So why isn't this being reported like crazy in the news? Think on it, and you will get the idea. It doesn't help Obama. It doesn't help you and I. It doesn't help the allies. It doesn't help America in the least little bit. All it is doing is giving another high-level job to someone who, like Obama, has no qualifications for said job and who, like Obama, will not be held accountable for the mistakes made in ignorance or because he knows what he's doing. America is in trouble because we won't stand up for what is right and against what is wrong. I hope my point is taken here, because America is in trouble. And I will probably talk more about this soon, along with the Muslim Brotherhood and the encroachment of Islam into America and the demise of the Constitution. So stay tuned in the weeks, each week, for more truths against the liberal left and those who won't stand up for what is right. Because if you just watch our government, you'll see it happening. On Sundays, we have American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher. With his engineer's insight and love of America, this show could really bring you some great ideas and ideals from what America is and what America should be. This show airs on Sunday evening, us tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. On Mondays, we have Inside Genesee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the week with his veterans insight and most informative guests to bring you another great show to listen to on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Tuesdays, we have two shows, The Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart. There is nothing more outrageous to an American than to find out about an innocent being convicted of a crime they didn't commit when the wheels of justice fall off. These two give you an insight into the dark side of our judicial system at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Also on Tuesdays is the Grit and Grace radio show with Jennifer Meadows. She has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years now, and she's here on conservativenationmedia.com on Tuesdays after a Just Cause at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. On Wednesdays, we have our leader who is in the chat room with the great radio voice, Duke Brooks, with his radio show, Radio Free America. Our man Duke has hanger flying right-wing politics and American history that is always interesting and fun to listen to. On Tuesdays is the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. His expertise on the Constitution will give you great information to continue the fight for this country as the war that is being waged against us. It airs on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And on Saturdays, you are treated with my show on the New Wise Conservatism Radio with yours truly, the infidel with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. All this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Thank you, my friends, for listening. We'll see you all again next week after I leave you with this great thought by a friend of mine, Douglas V. Gibbs. I left that on there from last week, but I am glad that you are all here this weekend to listen to the show. Hope you show up again next week, and God bless you all, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a good night. God bless you all.